Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll read verses 7 through 14 together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Second Thessalonians 3, verses 7 through 14. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place, for just to hear this incredible group of hundreds of people sing praises to you and be so excited, and yet to hear them read the ever-living Word of God aloud, and yet we get to hear it preached from the man of God, service after service. Father, please, may we not take it for granted. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. We sure do need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read to you again four different verses. I don't want you to turn to them. They come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You listen, please. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. In verse 10 it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Verse 13, and from this text we get the title and the sermon this evening, that ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. As we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you read the first old dozen verses or so. The Lord is talking to us about the behavior of some people in the church. He gets to verse number 13 and he says, now you, brethren, he said, be not weary in well-doing. That's the title of my sermon this evening, Weary in Well-Doing. What does that mean, weary in well-doing? Now, you know, being weary is not bad. We ought to become weary. We ought to work and be tired. If at the end of the workday you're not tired, you didn't do something right. You must have cheated your boss. You're supposed to give your best. So there's nothing wrong with being weary. But here it's saying, now don't be weary in or of well-doing. There are different ways, I suppose, that we could define this weary in well-doing. For instance, don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of doing right. Don't get tired of obeying the Bible. Don't get tired of not being like the world and wanting to be like Jesus. Don't be weary in or of well-doing. Good. Not only that, this is teaching us, don't get so weary that you quit.
Right.
Don't get so weary that you quit. Matter of fact, it may even mean don't get disgusted weary. You ever just find yourself kind of disgusted with something and think all fooey on it? That I'm tired of that. I'm weary of that. And God is saying to us, don't you get disgusted. Don't you quit. Don't you get tired of doing good. Now, let me point some things out to you in this passage of Scripture. In verse number 10, the Lord teaches about the subject of virtue, of laziness. He said, now, if you don't work, you should not eat. Now, we could clear up a lot of financial problems in America if you just stop feeding lazy people. You say, oh, that's mean. No, it's mean to feed lazy people, because if they would be happier if they go out and earn some money. You know, not everybody that receives welfare ought to be on it. There are a lot of people out there, they're just lazy, and they'd rather have the government feed them than for them to feed themselves. Now, God gave them capable, able bodies. They ought to be using them. But the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Verse 11 actually goes on to say there are some that won't work at all. I mean, they won't work at all. Then God said, so they don't work, then they'll use their energy and they'll become busybodies. Now, I want you to understand something. God's not really talking about just out there in the world now. We're talking about the church. Most everything that's written in this Bible was written to us, born-again Christians. He said, now, you've got these people and they've got this extra energy. They've not used it to labor for God. They therefore become busybodies. That's what God called them. Busy doing what? Sticking their nose in other people's business. Busy what? Busy noticing what's wrong with everybody else's work. Hey, when you've got a lot of extra energy on your hand, you can just examine everything that everybody else is doing, and you've got time to just sit back, kick back, think through that thing, and analyze it all. But you know, there are some people just so busy, they don't have time to do that. They're too busy. They've got their nose in their own business. They've got their nose in the work of God. Busybodies get busy noticing what's wrong with everybody else. You know, the people who do the most in the churches are usually not your critical people. I said something about this morning. When you're busy, you just really don't notice what's wrong with everybody else so much. I was thinking of Brother Levi Hall this morning. He's one of our deacons. Levi Hall is an assistant Sunday school teacher to Brother Nash. Levi Hall is a bus captain, and he's a realtor. And I was thinking, you know something? In all the time that I have known Levi Hall, one of our good men, I've never known him to criticize anything at our church. But can I tell you one reason why? He's so busy serving our church, he doesn't have time to analyze our church and criticize our church. He's not a busy body. In other words, he didn't have all this extra energy that he should have invested in the work of God. He used up all of his energy, and he just doesn't have time to find anything to criticize. A church should be like an anthill. Everybody busy. Everybody productive. You ever seen an anthill? I mean, those little ants, they are everybody. Everybody's at work and everybody's carrying something, following something, doing something, building something. Church should be a lot like a beehive. Everybody making something good happen. We're all making honey. We're all doing our job. Everybody's got something to do. Now, if that's going to happen, a church has to have order. A church has to be organized, meaning everybody has duties. Everybody has a chore, a place to be, and something to do while they're there. Let me ask you this question. What are your duties?
Good.
Paul makes this very statement in verse 11. He said, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. They've not gotten in order. They don't have anything to do. Working not at all. But they're busybodies. Now, let me warn you. You say, but the ones, I don't have any duties in the church. Does that make me a busybody? You have tremendous potential to be a busybody. You say, am I a gossip? Am I a critic? Am I going to be critical of everybody else's work? Eventually, you won't just sit back and watch everybody and be satisfied. Because your mind, everybody here has a mind, and you're going to like this, and a strong mind, and a capable mind. And that mind was supposed to be used to be doing something, not just sitting back watching everybody else do something. Sooner or later, you're going to set in judgment, and having all your energy in store, your mind's going to kick in, and it's going to have to begin to make comments. It's going to have to begin to be productive somehow, even if your productivity is tearing everything else down. Because your mind was not created to watch the work of the Lord. Your mind was created to participate in the work of the Lord. And that mind, is you're going to begin to use some of that energy up. So Paul, even in verse number 12, Paul promotes quietness in our labor, meaning he's saying they're quiet about their work. What does that mean? They're not busy griping and complaining. They're busy working. Now, everybody's to work for the Lord. You can't pay somebody to do your work for you. You hear me say this every time we have a missions conference. Now, folks, you can give money to the missionaries to win others to Jesus Christ. But there's somebody you're supposed to win to Jesus Christ, and you can't pay somebody to do your soul winning for you. Now, we should support the missionaries so they can go to distant lands and win others to Christ. But you and I, we're to be winning our neighbors to Christ and the people that we work with to Christ. And the people here in our town, in our county, in our state, we're to be winning them to Christ. You can't pay somebody to do your work for you. You're to do it. Don't get to thinking that you're too good to work for God. Don't get to thinking that you're too important to work for God. Hey, you know something? I like dreamers, but I like doers better than I like dreamers. Well, you've got these people. I'll tell you what I'm going to do one of these days. Well, why don't you wake up and do something about right now? Right now. Why don't you get busy right now? There's some people, everything they're going to do is tomorrow. Tomorrow, one of these days. I'm going to get involved in that bus ministry one of these days. I'm going to get involved in the Sunday school ministry one of these days. I'm going to get involved around the church one of these days. I'm going to work it out. You'll see. Yeah, well, I'd like to see it today. Today. Hey, you're to be a busy bee, not a busy body. Yeah. Hey, do you build nothing for God, but then live off of what everybody else is building? You know something? Earlier, when I was talking about not everybody on welfare, they ought to be on welfare. If they're capable in body, they ought to be out working, and everybody is earning the paychecks going. That's right. You agree with that physically in the world. Do you agree with that spiritually in the church? Listen. If you're busy about nothing, eventually you'll cause disturbances. Eventually you'll be involved in some division in the church. We're to be busy serving God. And that's what we're supposed to do with our life. Let me talk to you about that for just a little while. Oh, the sermon will be simple. You'll learn nothing new here tonight. I'll remind us of something that most all of us already know. Let me say number one. God calls the Christian life a life of well-doing. You and I are to live our life well-doing, serving God. Hey, church work and serving the Savior, that is well-doing. Now, I hate to say this to you because some of this will be hard for you, but attending church and just sitting is not a whole lot of well-doing. Coming in, soaking up the air conditioning, enjoying the heat, listening to the singing, that's not labor. If you don't believe it, tomorrow go to work, sit down and do nothing but sing all day and see what your boss says. He's going to say, "Get on the ball!" And you say, "I'm well doing. Well, I came in, didn't I?" He'll say, "Yeah, you came in, but tomorrow you don't need to." It's the work of the Lord. We're to be involved. Hey, well-doing is preaching. Well-doing is Sunday school involvement. Well-doing is passing out gospel tracts. Well-doing is your prayer life. Well-doing is those of you, what a mighty army of people we have around here that help us with the janitorial duties. That's well-doing. Well-doing is helping with the Bible study. Well-doing is the massive army of men that help with the maintenance of this huge property and all these buildings. Well-doing is teaching children and King's Kids. Well-doing is working on the grounds. And men, we've got our work cut out for us. All these acres after acres after acres, and it's time to start cleaning it up and mowing it and getting it ready for the season. That's well-doing. Well-doing is the duties at the Christian school. Well-doing is winning people to Jesus Christ. And well-doing is being an usher. And well-doing is working in the music ministry and showing up for your practices so you're ready. And well-doing is working in the bus ministry and driving a bus. Well-doing is working on a bus and fixing that thing up and changing the oil and making sure it's mechanically sound. Well-doing is standing at a door and greeting. Well-doing is working in our hospitality ministry, caring for our visitors, helping the church to feed the poor. That's well-doing. Meeting the need of the fatherless. That's well-doing. Helping the widows. That's well-doing. Caring for the sick saints. That's well-doing. Hey, listen. There are some well-doings, if you will, that even the lost feel responsible for. A husband supporting his family. That's well-doing. Husband ought to support his family. The Bible teaches he is to be the primary supporter of his family. Hey, but listen, folks, don't get too energized, because I'm going to give you some things that even lost people believe. And so you say, well, I'm doing that. But lost people do these things, okay? Wife being a good housekeeper, that's well-doing. Sons and daughters doing their chores at home, that's well-doing. An employee working hard at their job, that's well-doing. The raising of children, that's well-doing. And we should do these, because there are responsibilities. But let me tell you, a lot of what we do because we are to be responsible as human beings, as a part of the human race, just to be decent, go to work, feed our wife, and take care of our kids, and serve our family as a woman, obey our parents as children. But don't get the idea, because you go to work, that you are busy doing well. Because God's talking about more than that. God wants you to be busy doing some things for Him, too. God wants you to be busy making something happen and being involved in church work and for eternity. So, what is well-doing? Well-doing is going to work. It is. Well-doing is doing your fatherly duties and your duties as a mother and your duties as a child. Those things are well-doing. But God is asking us not to be weary in the well-doing of our service to Him. So I ask you, is there any chance that you will be weary in well-doing by serving God? Secondly, there are some things that will tend to weary us when we're doing the things that we ought to for God. Listen, our church is a busy church. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people here tonight. We are a busy church. Let me tell you something. Most of you, if you were not busy in church, you'd be busy in the world. You can thank God you're busy in the world. I heard a lady, she's here tonight. She talked to me one day, she came to me, she was crying. She said, Brother Owens, she said, I heard another lady say she was upset with her husband because he's spending some time down here at the church. The first lady said, I'd give anything if my husband would spend time at the church. It broke my heart when I heard her. It broke my heart when I heard her say she just didn't want her husband down here at the church doing that. And I thought, yeah, there are all sorts of women that would love to have their husband want to come to the church and maybe drive a bus or go out soul winning. Now, listen, ladies, I'll tell you something. If you don't let him stay busy about some things for the Lord, he may get busy about some things, but it may not be for the Lord. You may regret saying, hey, he's going to be busy doing something. Right. Good people, good men, good people with character, they're going to be busy doing something. We might as well be busy doing something for the Lord. But there are some things that could weary us. I'm going to mention them. As I study through this passage of Scripture, I see some things that are mentioned leading up to the statement, don't be weary in your well-doing. Let me show you what they are. First of all, when lazy people receive the benefit of your charity, that might begin to weary you. It might begin to weary your attitude a bit. You know, earlier, let me read it to you. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should we eat. Now remember, that verse came just a few verses before the Lord said, don't be weary in well-doing. Now, he prefaced the don't be weary in well-doing by saying, there are some that they're eating, but they're not working. Now, when I said earlier, there are people that receive all sorts of welfare benefits, and they can work, and they really shouldn't get it. They ought to go out and work for themselves. Everybody in here was shaking their head up and down, and they were so happy about that. But I'll tell you something, it can make us a little discouraged when the government takes your hard-earned money and they give it to lazy people. That wearies us. I mean, we look at that mentally and say, something not right about that. When you go down to the grocery store, someone is in front of you in line at the grocery store, and they pull out all their food stamps or their food card that the government gave them when they didn't work, and they've got more food on the conveyor belt than you do, and you're thinking, what's going on here? I mean, I worked and worked and worked. They took my paycheck, gave it to that person, and that person eats better than I do. You know what? That can tend to weary us.
Yes, sir.
But God said, keep going to work. Don't let that stop you. If somebody is eating off of your charity and they don't deserve it, don't you quit doing right. Don't you quit going to work. Don't become weary in your well-doing. It's a good idea. You keep going to work. You say, Brother Owens, why would you say that? I know people that say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to let the government take care of me. I'll just quit. I'll just take all that the government will give me. Why go to work? Because it's right. It's well-doing. It's well-doing. Don't become weary in well-doing. But I'll tell you what spiritually happens. When your tithe pays for heat, fuse, electricity, building payments, and there are times when you say, yeah, there are other people that won't do a lick for this church. They'll come in here and they get virtually all the benefits that I get. They don't tithe. I mean, they don't go soul winning. They don't build a bus route. They live off of what everybody else does. That could weary you. That could weary you. You could say, there's something not right about that. But God said, don't be weary in well-doing. You just keep doing what's right. You keep tithing. You keep coming to church. You keep serving God. And when you see other people taking advantage of your hard work, you just don't be weary in well-doing. Because the Bible says, in due season, you'll reap if you don't faint. So, this first passage of Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should they eat. Remember, he follows that with, don't be weary in well-doing. And what he's saying is, when you are working hard spiritually, and other people are benefiting from your charity, and they're virtually lazy in the church, don't get weary. Don't get weary in your well-doing. You just keep doing right. There's people that are unproductive and lazy. Let me read another verse to you. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know, again, this is almost like the first point that I made to you, but here, we get to looking, you get to looking around the church and you see people that they do nothing, but they're spectators instead of participators. And, you know, it could get discouraging. There are some people that put time in hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. Ask any leader in the church, when you want something done, go find somebody that's already busy in the church and they'll do it. It's very difficult to get some people to move. And you could get discouraged about that. You could say, hey, there's not a lack of people. There's lack of people willing to get busy in the Lord's work. But the Lord said, there are some that are not working at all. He points it out. He said, you're going to look at the church and there are going to be people. They're going to come in. They're going to sit down. They're going to be there. But you can't get them to do anything. And God comes and says, but don't be weary in your well-doing. Don't you let some lazy Christian discourage you from doing well. Don't you let somebody that is receiving your charity and taking advantage of your giving, don't you let them discourage you. Don't be weary in well-doing. Then, in this same passage of Scripture, it talks about people that are busybodies. Hey, busybodies can cause us to become weary in well-doing. People who are busy with their mouth, but not with their back. People who are busy criticizing, but never serving. People who could tell you what's wrong with everything, but they can't tell you what's right with anything. And I told you before, and I'll not belabor it, but you know, you're going to find out. Usually, the people who criticize the most are the ones that are doing the least. Because they have so much mind energy that's not been used to do something, they use it to attack instead of build something. So here, you be careful. Don't you let busybodies, don't you let talkers get you down. You keep doing right. You keep doing right. Don't be weary in well-doing. When other people take advantage of your charity, don't be weary in well-doing. When other people, you say, hey, look, they won't do anything. Don't be weary in your well-doing. When other people are busybodies, busy talking but not busy working, don't be weary in well-doing. That's what the Lord's teaching us here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In this passage it says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, there it says, there are some disorderly people. Now, disorderly comes right before he says, don't be weary in well-doing. Hey, disorderly people can cause us to become weary in well-doing. I want you to listen to me and look right here. Disorderly. What are these people? These are people that are they're not doing things in order. The truth is, this word almost means people that are not faithful to their duties. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the things that tends to weary me in well-doing. It is when people don't do what they're supposed to do. Oh, I want a job in the church. But oh, I want to be in the bus ministry. Well, then show up. Oh, I want to be in the bus ministry. I want to work in the bus ministry. And so you show up one time a month. That can weary us, can't it, Brother Bajan? It says there are some disorderly people. What's it mean? That those people that are not doing the things in the order that they're supposed to be done. Well, John, nothing like it. They'd have a bunch of workers and King's kids that just don't show. Well, I want to be involved. I want to sing in the choir. Well, I'm not going to come to half the practices. It's discouraging, isn't it? Makes you want to say, no more important to them than that. But Brother Nash, don't be weary in well-doing. Hey, rescue choir members, don't be weary in well-doing. And you think about it. You think, where are they now? What's their excuse now? Why aren't they with us now? Don't be weary in well-doing. There are those that will behave disorderly. They won't do things in a proper order. Brother Bajan, hey, you bus captains that show up on a regular basis, don't be weary in well-doing. There are some that won't, but they ought to. But don't you be weary in well-doing. Hey, every one of you people that are workers in that bus ministry, look, when the other workers aren't showing up like they're supposed to, don't you be weary in well-doing. Don't you be weary in well-doing. You be where you're supposed to be. Hey, I'll tell you what. Folks, let me teach you something. If you have a duty, and you're not going to show up to do it, call and tell somebody, would you? Have you all learned that before? And you'll do it to make money. I mean, if you're not going to work tomorrow morning, you'll call in. If not, you won't have any place to call in to on Tuesday. Well, since when is working for a lost man out in the world more important than working for God? Hey, listen. Disorderly. You talk about frustrating. And for me, one of the hardest things about leading people is you give them a duty and then they won't do the duty. And they don't let you know they're not coming to do the duty. They don't even show up to do the duty. And hey, and you got to be polite, though. Oh, you got to be polite. Oh, brother, it's been 6 weeks since I've been there to do my duty. How do you feel about it? You really want to know? No, you don't really want to know. What you want me to do is pat you on the head, rub your belly, and say, it's all right. It's okay to be unfaithful. And that's what we'll tell you. That's what they want to hear, right? That's what they want to hear. Truly. Wow. We got that tune treed. Disorderly. Undependable. Unpredictable. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be there, maybe they won't. It's no big deal. Let me tell you what happens, folks. When the people around us are behaving that way, let me tell you, people with character may get to thinking, what's the use? They can get weary in well-doing. The Bible says disorderly people cause us to become weary in well-doing. The Bible says busybodies that can talk about the work but don't walk about the work, they tend to weary us. Unproductive people, you can't get them to do anything. They can tend to weary us. I mean, we look out and we see there are so many people that can do so many things but you can't get them to do anything. It tends to weary us. The Bible says here in verse number 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says this. It says, and that we may deliver from unreasonable and wicked men. Unreasonable people can weary us. You know, there are some people, number one, you can't please them. But there are some people, we all need to work on our ability to get along with each other. There are some people, they're just unreasonable. I mean, they're a bit unpredictable. To try to figure out how to get along with them, how to follow them, or how to lead them, it is almost unreasonable. They're unreasonable to work with.
I mean, you can't tell if they're happy today, if they're sad today, if they're mad today, if they're happy today. You're going to watch them as you approach them, just wondering how you should handle them. Unreasonable people make it very difficult in the church. And there are some people that go, you weary me. You weary me. But God said, don't become weary in well-doing. You keep on going. Now, Brother Bush, you're going to deal with some unreasonable people. Brother Nash, you'll deal with some unreasonable people. Hey, leaders, you're going to deal with some unreasonable people. And the Lord said, hey, and this is where we live, folks. There are people that just get tired of working at the church because of what? Disorderly people. People won't show up, won't do what they're supposed to do. You can't count on them. They'll sign up to be a nursery worker, but you may not see them four or five times for their shift in a row. And they're disorderly. They're not where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. You ask any nursery director here. Poor Mrs. Duke, she spends half of her life in a nursery because her workers won't show up. And then they come and they'll say, well, I just couldn't make it again. And sweet Mrs. Duke, she says, well, honey, that's okay. Well, let me tell you, and she probably doesn't think this, but if she really got to tell you what she thought, she'd think, hey, if a lady at my age can be there and be there faithfully, why can't you? And if you don't feel that way, Mrs. Duke, that's okay. I'm using that. That's good preaching for tonight. And it wearies us. Anybody who is faithful to what they're supposed to do can have a tendency to be wearied by the disorderly. They can be wearied by those that they take in, but they don't give out. They'll be wearied by the talkers that are busybodies. Their mouth rattles, but they don't do anything for God. They're wearied by unreasonable people. You just can't figure out how to please them and how to do things the way it ought to be done. The Bible says here, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 2, right before he says, be not weary in well-doing, he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, folks, some of you are going to be weary because hey, what's going to happen? There's some of you that sincerely want to serve the Lord. We're going to have people pass through the church who are going to live bad. They're going to choose to live in sin. And if you're not careful, it's going to weary you. They're going to come in here, they're going to hear the preaching, they're going to keep on living in sin. It's like some of you, you know somebody right now in this church. Some of you teenagers, you know teenagers in this church that won't live right, they've chosen not to live right, they're living in rebellion, and it's wearying you. It's getting to you. You've looked at them, and that thing's eating at you. And I say to you, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. There are wicked people, people that will keep on living wrong and won't do right and won't change their life. And hey, they'll come around and they'll spoil the attitude of things. The Lord said, don't you stop. You keep doing right. Don't be weary in well-doing. When wicked men pull the church testimony down, I'm going to tell you all, you're going to have to be patient. We got a lot of people that mean business about serving the Lord around here. I'm going to ask you to be patient. We're going to have some jerks come through. It's going to happen. And we're not for it. As a church, as a whole, we're not for people coming around here playing around and mocking the church and going out and living like animals but coming in here. Now, I want them to grow. And I'm for them growing. But you know, you've met them. You've seen them. The ones that are living wickedly and almost thumbing their nose at God's face. But they'll say, well, I go to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Oh, that's my church. But you know, they're living like animals. You might say, but I'm at it with that. Yeah, it'll weary you. But don't be weary in well-doing. Just keep going. Just keep going. It says here, and that we may deliver from unreasonable and wicked men. And then it says, reasonable, unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Can I tell you something? I'll tell you something that'll weary you. Those of you that have a little bit of faith about you, those of you that you say, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, I'm onward now, I want to grow, I want something to happen. You get around people that have no faith, that don't want to grow, and they have a tendency to throw water on your fire. I want to go forward for God. I have faith in God. God wants to do something. Hey, God wants to do something with our bus route. Then you got somebody that doesn't believe it. You see, when you have faith, but you're surrounded by doubters, you want to go forward. You want to go forward for God, but others have no faith, and you want to step out by faith, but others do not. That can weary you. It can weary you. It can get you down when you want to go forward and do better things for God and move up for God. And then you look back at the people that are supposed to be helping you, and you're sitting there going, duh. I'm satisfied. Christians ought not be satisfied. You know, people preach all the time, Jesus satisfies. You know what? I've been serving Him for 30 years. He's not satisfied me yet. I have more that I want to do. You shouldn't be a satisfied Christian. You ought to always be growing. I want to conquer new territory in your Christian life. Oh, He'll satisfy your need in regard to salvation, so you know you're going to heaven someday. But when it comes to satisfaction in this life, hey, you get saved and you get an old dose of Jesus Christ inside you, you're going to walk around constantly going, I need to do something else. I need to make something else happen. I need to conquer something. I've got to have victory in my life. But you're going to find something out. There are those that don't have faith. And when you get around people that don't have faith to go forward, they could weary you. And then the old flesh can weary us. Just because the body gets tired. My flesh does not always want to keep on going for God. You say, Brother Owens, I work Monday through Friday or Saturday down at work, and then I come to church and I'm busy and I'm tired. I know. But could I tell you something? We're only going to work like that for 60 or 70 years. We're going to get to heaven, and work in heaven is going to be a lot different than it is down here. We'll have all eternity, and there's a certain kind of a work that is a certain kind of a rest at the same time in heaven. And I don't know how God does it, but He does it. And you can do it. Don't let your flesh weary you. Don't be weary in your well-doing. What's He talking about? Well, when you begin to read through the verses there, He says, don't be weary in well-doing. And then if you go backwards, you can figure out the things that He predicts will make you weary in well-doing. It's when other people benefit from your charity, when they could be doing something to be a contributor, and that could weary you. It's when other people are unproductive and you are working yourself crazy and they're just watching. Disorderly people will cause you to be weary. That's undependable, unpredictable, unfaithful people. Busybodies could weary you. Those are the ones that have plenty of talk, but they don't have much walk to back it up. Unreasonable people. You know, those people with just the contrary personalities. You just don't know when they're going to go off and when they're going to be depressed and when they're going to be mad and when they're going to be happy. And you're thinking, boy, they're just almost unreasonable to be around and to work with. Wicked people that come through the church, they could weary you in your well-doing. Your own flesh could weary you. Hey, people with no faith could weary you. But the Lord said, don't be weary in well-doing. What's He mean? He's saying to you, don't quit doing good. Don't get tired of doing good. There's going to be some things come along. They're going to try to weary you. They're going to try to get you to quit. The devil's going to psychologically work on you and say, well, nobody else is working hard. Why should you? Because you should not become weary in well-doing. Well, all they do is criticize. I work hard and they turn around and there are people that criticize. Don't be weary in well-doing. I'm tired of showing up when nobody else shows up. It's hard. Hey, look, if there's a group of people that are supposed to be here practicing, and they're supposed to be practicing for a duet or a trio or a quartet, let me tell you something. If you're the only one that comes, don't be weary in well-doing. You just keep showing up, and I've watched it. I've watched people show up. I've watched people show up at this church to practice time and time and time again, and the same people not even come to the practice. It'll weary you. It will flat out weary you. When you're to be working with a team of people and they don't show. Hey, but those of you that do show, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. You know, what's hard about a sermon like this, it is almost too truthful. Hey, are you being wearied by the sodomites? I'm not. But neither are you. The sodomites aren't wearing you down. Hugh Hefner's not wearing you down. I'll tell you what wears us down. Those of us inside the church, when we're not pulling together and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, if everybody would get in order and get their duties and show up when they're supposed to show up and do what they're supposed to do, we'd all pull together and some people wouldn't have to do so much of the work. But our attitude wearies, doesn't it? We become weary in well-doing. Let me give you a couple reasons why you should not be weary in well-doing, and I'll be done. Hey, don't mess up what God's already started in your life. Don't quit. Don't stop serving God. Some of you, you've been serving God way too long. Don't stop now. Keep on going. Hey, let me give you another reason to be careful about this weary in well-doing. Your children are watching. Your children are watching. Quitting your service to God. Maybe quitting on your kids. They need to see a mom. They need to see a dad that is doing something for God. Not just a spectator, a participator. Hey, God's watching. God's watching. You say, Brother Owens, the people that are supposed to show up and help me, they didn't even show up. Well, I'll promise you, God showed up and He's seen that you were there. You clocked in with God. And God knows it. Remember, we're serving God. We're serving the great God of the universe. It's a privilege. It's an honor. You're serving the one who died for you. We ought to follow the examples of those in days gone by. You take Noah. Hey, listen, the odds were against Noah, but he did not become weary in well-doing. He built the ark and he went forward. You take the Apostle Paul. You know, the religious people of his day were very critical of him, but he did not become weary in well-doing. He kept doing right. Caleb at 85 years old said, I want that mountain. Hey, when his age seemed to be his enemy, he said, I don't want to be weary in well-doing. I'm going to keep on going. Joseph, when his family turned on him, he kept going. He did not become weary in well-doing. You just stop and think about what Jesus did for you. There are rewards in heaven, and that's what the Bible teaches. It says, don't be weary in well-doing. Why? Because in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Those of you that are where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to do, listen, if you just keep doing that, God's keeping score. God's keeping score. You think anybody else notice it, Brother Owens? It doesn't matter if anybody else knows it. I think other people do. But it doesn't matter. God is keeping score. And He said, you just keep on going, don't you stop, and there are rewards for you. In due season, you're going to reap. You're going to reap. Good things are going to come your way. But I loved it as I was reading this passage of Scripture. I'd read the verse that we should not be weary in well-doing. I read it over and over again. But I had no idea that prior to the verse, God had made a description of some of the things that would weary us in well-doing. And I found out those things to be very practical. Very reasonable. We get busy serving God. We look around. We see all these people that could be helping, but they won't. We see everything that we're doing, and they don't seem to be doing anything. But they are enjoying the same air conditioning and the same pews. Hey, they're proud of the same successful New Testament church, but they're not contributors. And we have this tendency to say, what are they doing? Don't let that weary you in your well-doing. Unproductive people, don't let it weary you in your well-doing. People that talk but don't work, don't let that weary you in your well-doing. People that are disorderly, they're unfaithful, they're uncommitted. You can't figure out if they're going to show or if they're not going to show. Don't you be weary in well-doing. Unreasonable people, people that are hard to get along with. Their personality is just harsh and unpredictable. But don't you be weary in well-doing. Wicked people, people that have a bad testimony and hurt our church and you say, I'm just tired of that. Hey, don't be weary in your well-doing. Keep on going for God. Your own flesh can get you down. But don't be weary in well-doing. The lack of someone's faith because you want to go forward and do more. Don't you be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. I really hope that somebody tonight has examined themselves and said, I wonder if I'm wearying people because of my unfaithfulness. By not caring for my duties. By not being where I'm supposed to be. I'll tell you what, Brother Doss, nothing like showing up to run a bus route and the driver doesn't even show. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. I wish I could turn off the tape because I want everybody to know I'm saying this to you. I wonder how many times, listen to this folks, I wonder how many times I've gone to a Sunday school class and a Sunday school teacher wasn't even where they were supposed to be. students come to my door and knock. Oh, I'm not a teacher. That'll weary people. Hey, bus captain. I had a dad in my office the other day who said, I think I'm going to stop sending my kids to the bus ministry because I send them there on Saturday morning, but the bus captain doesn't show up. And so they came to go out soul winning and the bus visit all day, but they don't have anybody to go with. I'll weary you. But can I tell everybody something? Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep doing right. Sermons like this will help fix some of that. You know what I mean? Now, I'm wearying you in my well-doing tonight, huh? But it's the truth. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, yes, sir, you'll reap if you faint not. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.